This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're on Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and I'm Kurt, and I'm your host this evening, and we're very excited to have a great show. We've got Andrea in the studio. Hi, Andrea. We've also got ML in the studio. How are you going, ML?
Good. How are you?
Good. And we've got Megan back. How are you going, Megan?
I am super sweet.
Super sweet?
Super sweet.
That's good. Now, Andrea, we were really keen on getting to know you a little bit more and talking about your story, because it's quite fascinating, and I don't think any of us have come across a person quite like you before. So we're all fascinated to hear what you've got to say.
Okay, I'm a mosaic. Basically, I was born male.
Mm-hmm.
I'm intersex. I'm 46, 47 XXY, and I'm transgender.
So it's very interesting. There's a lot of you're sort of a lot of different things. You know, as we're putting labels on things, so it's very interesting to hear sort of how you were brought up and a few stories that you've actually told Megan, ML and myself, which would be really good to share with everybody. You're on Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and we've got Andrea, ML and Megan in the studio. And Andrea, I want to make tonight all about you, because your story is so interesting. And before, you said mosaic.
Yes, I'm actually part of the Klinefelter spectrum. So my the cells in my body have different groups of chromosomes. I'm not all completely XXY, and I happen to have some cells that are just normal XY. It's just that another group of cells within me has an extra X chromosome. One of the problems with that is that I just don't know how much of me is affected by that. It varies with everybody. There's no simple answer to say that, you know, 20%, 80%. Every individual that's a mosaic is different.
Okay, how does being mosaic make you different to everyone else in the community?
A lot of the issues that I have would be that... that's a really tough one.
Are you sort
how
of asking,
am I different?
Asking ML, so there's so many different varieties, I suppose, of intersex.
Okay.
Are you talking about...
I just want to know what being mosaic means to Andrea.
Okay, it's not quite clear cut. Generally with Klinefelter's 47XXY, every cell is equally affected. And... there's a whole lot of papers that are published on it, quite in depth. Generally, most of the papers actually stretch back to the 1940s, where the studies were done in the prison systems and in mental institutions, mm-hmm. which is very, very unfair on you know, anyone that's affected by Klinefelter's.
How does it affect you, though?
Well, generally, people seem to draw the same parallels with me and people that would be 47XXY.
Okay.
Now, I have an intersex condition that has less impact on my whole body and my being as if every single cell was affected. It's a lot harder to pick up because a lot of the indications aren't quite there.
Okay. What's the percentage, again, of intersex people in the population?
Okay, the general figures that are being thrown around at the moment are sort of 1 in 100 people are born intersex. That's both that's affecting both male and female. And if you were to walk out onto the platform in Flinders Street Station and you were to look around left to right during peak hour, you'll see quite a few intersex people there. You won't recognise them. They'll be just like anyone else. They're just normal people. Mm-hmm. We just have a chromosomal issue or a hormonal issue that was from birth. Mm.
And Andrea, you were saying that it's possible to be intersex without knowing it, without it affecting your daily lifestyle, and you're still being able to reproduce and everything seems like you're not intersex, but you are. Is that right?
Yes.
That people are walking around not knowing that they are intersex.
A lot of people go through their whole life without actually knowing.
Mm.
Since I have the lesser of the less impact mm. on my body, yes, I was able to reproduce. Mm. I have three absolutely wonderful children, and I also have two gorgeous grandchildren.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Some people aren't quite as lucky. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will go through their whole life without being diagnosed as being intersex. I'm just talking about Klinefelters.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, depending on the degree of how much they're affected as to, you know, at what stage in their life that's actually going to come up. If somebody's having trouble conceiving, and it's not that different to the general population anyway,
yes.
percentage-wise, mm-hmm. You know, that would be one of the indicators to start having some tests for it. There's issues that appear as an adolescent. The literacy portion of the brain is affected to some extent, so it can be picked up at school at an early stage, and things can be dealt with at that stage. Developmentally, I struggled with words. Like, I knew everything inside my head, but I couldn't get it out.
Mm.
It was just stuck there. There was a gap there. And I had to do quite a bit of extra schooling to actually cope with that.
Mm-hmm.
Other issues are, you know, you might start developing a little bit differently. I actually only found out the true reason why I had gynecomastia and also my body developed differently during puberty was when I was about 32 years of age. I developed a tumour,
mm-hmm.
and they couldn't quite identify it at the time, plus the structure was a little bit different within the gonad, and I was told that I'll be in surgery for a couple of hours until they had to remove the gonad, and then, sorry, I'm not going to use those other two words, they're just
fine.
A little bit too personal.
Yeah.
So at that stage, I ended up on the operating or the theatre table for 4 hours until they removed the gonad and took it out to have it examined. And then they had to do quite a bit of extra work removing ducts that were attached to my kidneys and to the back of my abdomen.
Mm.
And I found out about 3 weeks later as a follow-up with the surgeon that I had an undifferentiated ovary. So
wow, so it was actually quite late and really quite late that in life, really, that you were diagnosed with being intersex.
Yes, that was the actual knowing about it.
Mm.
There were quite a few physical differences, and they were quite a massive torment during my early childhood
puberty.
So what were you brought up as, male or female?
As male, and I am male. That I can't escape that. I've never identified as being male.
But
although I was told that I had to act that way.
Mm. So biologically you were born male?
Yes.
Yep.
Mm.
And a lot of people sort of confuse my intersex and transgender. The two are completely different. And throughout the intersex community, there's about the same proportion of transgender people amongst the intersex people as there are in just normal, the rest of the community. So being intersex and being transgender is such a tiny little part of the world.
Mm.
So when did you start your transition?
That is a big question, and right. we might save it for a little bit later. Okay. We have had a message from Tony, who gives big hugs. A huge thanks to Andrea for having a great courage to talk on your show tonight. Yeah. Thanks, Tony, thank you. For writing. That's your one, Megan.
I know. I'm just losing the plot tonight.
You're on Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and we're with Andrea, ML, and Megan, and Andrea's talking about being intersex and being transgender.
And we were getting to the transition part of our conversation tonight.
Okay, I've probably had one of the longest transitions in the world. I'm 56 years old at the moment, but it started when I was about 13, unknowingly.
But a transition doesn't never ends, does it?
It goes on and on. Well, my transition was a little bit different. I'm not sure that I really had much choice in the situation. Basically started to grow breasts more like a female. My chest didn't get broader. I didn't end up with the wider shoulders like all the other guys did. But my hips started getting a whole lot broader. And my pelvis developed quite differently.
So at school you were one of the boys and you were treated like a boy and told to do boy things?
I was told to be a boy and I was told to act like one as well.
And everyone was expecting you to grow into a man?
Yes, but it was pretty difficult. I actually had to sort of work out how to be a guy.
So it wasn't natural?
No, certainly not. And I actually had to learn how to hit first, and I had to learn how to hit very hard because my early years at primary school were quite awkward because I just didn't really fit in with the guys and the girls really didn't want me around. Mm.
So you just really felt out on your own?
To a fair extent.
I think probably being intersex and also sort of knowing at that early stage that there was something which you didn't quite identify with really just sort of made you, and I think probably a lot of us who are trans as well, who just sort of feel different to everyone else who were around sort of particularly during school. So I can just imagine with you it's exactly the same, but not knowing that you're intersex, but seeing your body actually change in such a way that you didn't actually expect it to change at all because, you know, you thought that you were born as a guy.
Well, while you're living as a guy and trying to be conform to everyone else's expectations, you don't actually understand why you're different. You don't really see all the features of your body and things like that. And a lot of the times you actually start to try and forget about things, you hide things, you try and get out of different activities. Generally, I think I went around with, in the middle of summer wearing polar neck jumpers just to hide under them and just say, look, I'm cold. In reality, I was just, the most uncomfortable person in the world. But even to stand in front of a camera, there are very, very few photographs that exist of me. By the time I realised that I was definitely not being comfortable being a guy, I really didn't want anyone to see me, which was different to being intersex, which was something that was being hidden at the same time anyway.
It sort of seems more like that's the transgender part of yourself, is you don't want people to see that old self because that wasn't you.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And the intersex side of it just happened to be running in parallel. It was causing other issues, but not as much as the gender issue.
So you were experiencing a lot of gender dysphoria.
Yes.
As both Megan and I have, and I'm sure ML might have,
I'm hearing all these things, and to me, they're just so close to home.
You can relate to them.
Oh, absolutely. I can relate to exactly everything which is being said.
I related to the jumper thing. But it's because I didn't like my breasts, say. And many very hot summers just wearing
a turtleneck.
Just going, I'm fine.
You are so brave, ML.
I have known ML for about 4 weeks now, and there are so many parallels in our lives. I have 16 double D's at the moment. They've come down a little bit since I've lost weight. And, like, they've always fluctuated. But they're just there.
I want her problem.
I'm not really... I don't really relate to them. They exist. They do nothing other than just... They're there.
Yeah, yeah.
I would be a boob donor if I could to you, Megan. But sorry.
As would I, Megan.
I'll take some, please.
Yeah, nice.
Chris, our panelist, is just sitting here with... He's just shocked. Poor guy.
I think at one stage we actually talked about swapping body parts or something like that.
It crosses all our minds. Yeah. Now, Andrea, it sounds like puberty was just very awkward for you. And ML asked before, when was that point where you said, I'm going to transition?
Okay, I started transition at about 49. Well, actually, no. Somehow, and I'm not quite sure, but you know, I started the process rolling back in about 1999, 1998. Just really not comfortable with a lot of things about my body. I really hated hair. And a lot of people don't realise that even if you are intersex, you can be hairy. Mm. You know, it's probably not quite as thick a woolly jumper as some people, but it's still there and it's a bit of a giveaway, particularly if you want to change roles. So, I'm not terribly sure, but I think the hair removal issue was something that I'd started. I started thinking about, my children were sort of moving out of home and starting to build their own lives. And it was a point in time where I was going to have the least amount of impact on everyone else. So over the next 10 years, I think I really sort of started putting things in place, developing different roles for myself. And my current career is just so different to anything I ever did before. I work in the beauty industry, and from being an engineer, working around the world, putting huge factories together and integrating systems and things, it's just, so left field. But I knew that I couldn't deal with that any longer. It was It was a fabricated life, and I just had to try and build up some sort of other means of feeding myself and keeping everyone happy around me.
Mm.
So I started transitioning there. Physical transition came at a point where it was about 2 o'clock Christmas Eve in 2008, where I just could not deal with life anymore. And for someone who's constantly thinking there's so many things buzzing around in my head, never ever stops, everything just went blank and it scared the hell out of me. So I started ringing around all the psychologists that afternoon, and a person out in Tacoma actually agreed to see me at 5 o'clock Christmas Eve. And it wasn't until about 7:45 that evening he actually let me leave his office. About after 4 weeks, I had a whole lot of paperwork sitting in my hand giving me the go-ahead to start hormones, to do whatever I needed to do to live a comfortable life. Basically, I was actually diagnosed as being transgender.
Mm-hmm. And so as an intersex person, to transition, do you take hormones?
Yes, I do. I'm currently on rather large doses of progesterone. A couple of the quirky things are that somewhere in my body I produce an aromatase enzyme, so whatever T I'm producing seems to get converted into E. So,
a lot of it.
Like, I've bounced all over the place. Every time I have a blood test, it's kind of different. So the highest I've ever been is 4,800 and something, which is just some ridiculous.
Okay, if you can see my jaw, it's
all
just
you cisgendered girls out there, that's estrogen dominance.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it
doesn't. Do you know what the normal range of estrogen is?
Generally, a normal female would peak somewhere around 1,300 periodically.
What did you say you were?
4,000.
Oh, geez.
My goodness.
The last lot was somewhere around 2,200 or 2,400, but it bounces around somewhere in the 2,000s most of the time.
So the progesterone helps to balance it out a bit?
Well, the progesterone was because, okay, I'm prone to getting breast lumps. I'm quite often I bleed from my breasts about every year.
Is that an intersex thing?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
One of the things is that I'm 200 times more likely to develop breast cancer. Yeah, it's just one of those things.
And
so the progesterone's to try and build up fat to open up the fibrous tissue so they can actually get a better view of the lumps and bumps inside the gland.
I'm interested to talk more about hormones and how it affects an intersex person, whereas just a transgender or a cis person. You're on Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and we were talking to Andrea about her intersex condition and being transgender, and we were on hormones. Now, Andrea, you were saying that your hormone level was, or your estrogen level was 4,000 something crazy, and it's supposed to be, do you know, Megan?
Well, what did you say before? Probably closer to around 300.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, like, my hormone levels were in about, I think last time I had checked, it was like 370 or something like that, my estrogen. And I know with me, with my hormone levels is, yeah, I can be quite emotional. So I'm sort of subject to the highs of highs and feeling absolutely great with stuff and sort of just feeling this enrichment and everything else like that. And ML's just got throwing your hands,
throwing your hands up in the air at the moment.
But for me as well, you also get the lows as well, and you just get the sadness, and it's so easy to start crying about things and just getting really emotional. But when I heard that Andrea's got hormone levels up to 4,000, I'm like, wow. What sort of impact does that have on yourself emotionally?
It's one of the things that having emotions, everything's just running pretty flat. It's just constant. I'm comfortable in my own skin. I don't have the highs and lows. I don't remember the last time I ever cried, but I think it was about the time I was getting belted as a kid. That was it.
That was a while ago.
Seriously, I can... I listen to a lot of other trans girls that go through all these highs, lows, ups, downs, depressions, joys, having sessions where they just burst out crying at a commercial. And I can't understand that. It just doesn't happen. And in some ways I feel like I'm sort of...
Poor Megan.
I mean, I have feelings, don't get me wrong.
But
and
they're
I
not
do
as
care,
intense, is that what you're saying?
I don't have any swings. I don't feel such a dramatic change at any point in time. By the same token, my hormone levels are not indicative of every other intersex person. It's just a quirky thing about me.
Intersex people are all different, and it's going to be variant depending on who you are.
Well, how many different types of intersex conditions are there? Obviously, there's not just one.
In excess of 40.
And that's a lot. So, as to how things work with you, it's obviously going to be quite representative of a lot of other people who are also intersex, that everything's different.
I also wanted to ask a question about your age, because we can see what you look like and we now know your age, but you really do not look your age.
She looks is that magical.
I know.
Really?
Is that anything? Is that anything to do with being intersex, or are you just blessed with amazing looks?
No.
Not blessed. Blessed.
Fortunately, I'm not blessed with looks.
No.
I have a face for radio.
That's not true. You're
gorgeous.
We are
still in here.
You're
hello,
gorgeous.
That's why we're on radio.
Okay. Back in 2006, I was pulled over for a license check. And when I handed my license over to the police officer, I hadn't started transitioning or anything like that. He looked at it and he turned it over and he looked at the year on the back of it, and he turned around and said, "Is this your license?" Yeah. It was just this silence, and then he said, "But I'm 11 years younger than you." Okay, well, so I was going to turn around and say, "Well, you should probably stop drinking, stop smoking, and get a bit more sleep.
Eat an apple.
And keep
now get me
donuts.
Out of this fine."
But no, I I think in a way I really hate the people addressing my age, because I know that it's associated with being intersex to some extent.
Mm, fair enough.
If you look at whatever photographs do exist of me over the years, I haven't really changed that much.
Mm.
My skin is pretty much the same. I remember my wife a long, long time ago making comments about, you know, how soft and nice my skin was and things like that, and it's still kind of the same.
And is that...
Sorry, go ahead, ma'am.
I was just going to say, is that part of the sort of intersex person that you are, or is that across all the spectrum
no,
of intersex?
It's pretty much sort of... From what I understand, it is one of the things that affects people with Klinefelter's and all the variants underneath it. Mm. You basically have a more youthful appearance. But part of that is the, I think the subcutaneous, the fat deposits under the surface of the skin, which sort of even things out a lot more. So you don't quite look like you're aging as much as everyone else. Mm. I certainly look a lot younger than my sister, and she's she's a few years younger than me.
Well, that has to be a good thing.
Well, it's working for me now.
Yeah.
But as I said, it's something that really draws me back to being intersex, which I sort of downplay appearing younger than I am.
Mm. I think being intersex is special. If I was intersex, I'd play it up so that I could get attention.
It's lonely.
But, Andrea, it's interesting you say that intersex people have that youthful... that ever youthful thing like trans men have. A lot of people think I'm a 15-year-old boy and I'm actually 28, guys.
28. You're 28, are you?
Nobody believes me, yeah, and I can't.
Well, see what it's like.
But it's nice because then I can just pretend that I'm just, a little, I haven't finished year 12 yet, so I can sort of make little boy mistakes and get away with stuff like that.
Do you get discounted public transport and those kinds of things?
Okay, what do you do when you go to a club or something? You can't order drinks.
There you go.
I don't drink, so there. I don't want alcohol, thank you.
That's cool. Neither do I.
Nice. Well, I was actually going to say, I actually know someone else who's also intersex as well, and she's exactly the same. She told me her age, and I could not believe it. I was like, wow. And she's like, a few years older than me, and she looks certainly a few years younger than me. I just absolutely could not believe it. I was so jealous of her.
That's just a thing. A thing. Yeah, I'm not on.
Actually, ML, you look so much younger.
Thank you. No, I'm not on testosterone at all, and I probably never will be. But when I started transitioning, I started to look a lot younger than I was, which is, I don't know why that happens, but something happens. And yeah. Oh, can I just add at this stage that we're really grateful that you're sharing your story with us, and thank you for being so brave.
Actually, ML, good timing, because we've just had a message from Sammy from South Yarra. Woo-hoo. Andrea, thank you for being so brave, using ML's words. Took the words right out of my mouth. And sharing your story on Joy 94.9. It's unusual for us to hear from someone who is intersex, and it reminds me that while we include the I in the LGBTIQ, most of us really don't know that much about it. I feel a little enriched now knowing a little bit about your story. Thank you. I think Sammy speaks for all of us when she says that.
Well, I can really only speak for myself. I can't speak for anyone else because we're just so different and we're just people.
Mm. Yeah.
And all I've ever wanted to do is just be a human being.
I think we all want to.
And you are a beautiful human being.
Gorgeous.
Thank you.
Now, ML, did you have any more questions for Andrea? Oh, Megan.
Well, I was going to say, with transition, you said that before you transitioned, you absolutely hated photos being taken of you and everything else like that. Now that you have transitioned, how do you feel with, now being on the other side of the camera, with getting your photo taken, those kinds of things, or are you still kind of a bit self-conscious?
I still hate the camera.
Really?
I have tried to keep the smallest footprint on the face of the earth.
In terms of film or whatnot.
It's opposite to Megan. You love selfies, yeah. Don't you?
But you know what? Seriously, selfies, like, as you go through transition, selfies are the most incredible things because you get to see this change. And like, unless you're actually doing something which is constantly reminding you of it, it's just like you still sort of look at through the world through the same eyes.
Exactly.
So when you get that sort of selfie being taken all the time.
But, you, but if when it's a selfie, you get it from a really good angle, so it's always, it might be a little bit of a lie.
There's something about the angle about taking yourself, you know,
from high to high. Megan's taking a selfie right now.
Okay, I have a collection of old licenses since they started bringing out the photo licenses, and if you have a look back over the last three of them, I really haven't changed.
Sorry, we just did take a selfie.
So we're just giggling away because yet another selfie is being taken by Megan.
Selfies are so distracting.
So are you talking about licenses?
Back to you, Andrea.
Okay. Well, over the last three licenses, and what are they, 10 years apart, and you sit them all side by side, apart from how annoyed I was having the photograph taken as to how much I tolerated it, that the change is not really very apparent over those years. So basically I haven't sort of changed a great deal in 30 years.
But a lot since you're an adolescent.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of a bit of a timeless quality that you have.
Well, I do have a use-by date.
I wondered what you said then as well. I thought I was just out of the loop. And it was
one of the downers. It was a word. I'm going to have a slightly shorter life expectancy, I think, from what I understand, looking at some of the papers that have been written about Klinefelters.
Why, do you know why that is?
No, I don't. No.
Is it to do with, you were saying when you were going through puberty, how every cell was affected and even your brain development, and it was sort of almost a later development?
The brain develops first. And your body develops second. But I'm a mosaic, so only parts of me have a chromosomal anomaly. Mm-hmm. The rest of me has just the normal XY chromosomes, just like any other guy. Mm-hmm. What percentage and what parts of me are affected and how they're affected, I have no idea. And it's not something you can actually narrow down without completely dissecting.
And where would someone who is intersex go for health, or just a GP who understands the condition?
Generally, GPs really don't understand what it's about. And when I was going through puberty, and actually after puberty, I went to a doctor and asked about my breasts and things, and I was told that they'll go away by somewhere around the time I turned 28.
Wow, and but so trying to go through adolescence with that.
Yeah, but there was a whole lot of other things that happened as well. Basically, that was just one little trait, but my breasts developed more like a female breast, not a guy breast. So I couldn't take my shirt off to go swimming. I couldn't go swimming in public. So it was very, very prohibitive as to what you can do. I know, Kurt, you must enjoy taking your shirt off.
I
have never had the opportunity to do that.
Neither have I. I haven't had surgery yet, unfortunately.
Oh, no, sorry.
It's my very nice binder that's helping me get away with that. But
how do you deal with them? I couldn't stand it.
I can't deal with them
I don't like it, but
I just want the opposite.
We would like to hand them over, but can I just ask for the health thing? Would LGBTI Health Alliance help people find a doctor or a GP or anything?
I'm sure they would. There's a lot more sympathetic people with far more understanding than there is in the general community.
Right. That's right. And we have got a website for you. We'll paste on the Facebook page. But you're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
From July 20 to 25th, Joy 94.9 presented a very special broadcast from AIDS 2014, the 20th International AIDS Conference, live, loud and proud across six huge days, sharing interviews, news, live music, community activities and more. Proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation, you can still catch up on what took place via our dedicated website, aids2014.joy.org.au, where you will find the range of podcasts. Interviews with Health Minister David Davis, World Middleweight Boxing Champ Sam Soliman, Lord Mayor Robert Doyle, former High Court Justice the Honourable Michael Kirby, Bill Clinton's address to the conference delegates, and that's just to name a few. The biggest on-location broadcast Joy has ever staged, all neatly packaged up in one convenient website. Visit aids2014.joy.org.au now.
You're on Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and that was Queen Bohemian Rhapsody. And I'm sure that I didn't even need to announce that because everybody knows what that song is. And it's an epic, great song.
Well, I was going to say, many years ago, we did a school Stepford to that.
Did you?
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Did you sing Megan?
No.
Now, Andrea, that was your choice of song, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Is Queen one of your favourites?
Oh, yes. From way back a long time ago.
Yeah.
I hate to say how old I am now, even though I said it earlier.
Earlier, yes.
Did we say, did you say it earlier?
Yeah, she did say how old she was already. That's okay.
Now, Andrea, you are going to be doing podcasts for Transpositions, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yes. I've processed the first, I've edited the first one, and I'm looking forward to subsequent ones from there on.
Fantastic. Yay. Well, we've got a lot of people asking after podcasts. And so, Andrea, we'll be getting podcasts up for you soon. All the podcasts you've been asking about, you can visit the Joy website.
Which is joy.org.au.
That's right. And click on Transpositions, and there is a link to our Facebook page. And ML, you're going to be the new leader of the Facebook page, I suppose.
The leader.
Because I'm not very good at it, as you've all probably noticed, all you people that have liked it already.
It's all my friends.
It's just a little bit sparse. Yeah, all ML's friends, because I have none.
That's me too, so I've liked it. It's all good.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone.
Yay. So make sure you like our Facebook page and do go to the Joy website, joy.org.au. Andrea, is there anything else you'd like to add for tonight?
I think one of the things that if anyone's interested in finding out a bit more about intersex and the various conditions, that they should go and visit the organisation International Intersex website, which is www.oii.org.au. And then if there's a particular condition they would like to find out a bit more about, there's an awful lot of wonderful material on that site and quite a few links to other sites. I can't remember the exact name, but the British Health System has a fairly extensive range of information, and the American Health Association has an incredible library of all the various papers that have been written for the various intersex conditions. You would have to spend several lifetimes going through them, though. But it may be a little bit of interest to other people. But being intersex is something that, it's a very personal thing. It's not something that most people would really like to share. We are just people like anyone else.
And it's certainly something which shouldn't sort of prevent you from living a normal life and just being, as you said, you just want to be a normal person.
Well, I've discovered that I am a person.
Yeah, you are a normal person.
Yeah, absolutely.
You just are.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Because it's such an interesting story that you really have shared, and we're really quite grateful that you've managed to sort of spend some time with us and have a bit of a chat about intersex and what it really does mean.
Mm. And you said before, Andrea, that we've just got to remember that all intersex people are different. Not everyone has the same story as you. Your story is completely unique.
Definitely. There's so many variants, and some people don't even know that they're intersex and they just lead normal lives.
Mm.
I'm just one person with one set of chromosomes. Over the years, I think I probably felt a bit like one of the members of X-Men, you know, mutant.
All different kinds of normal.
Yeah. Can we call you Wolverine or something like that?
No, I'm at the opposite end of the spectrum.
Megan, I'm Wolverine.
Hang on.
See my beard. You will be Wolverine. ML's just slapping me here.
Yes. But
this is the thing I'm learning about ML. ML really likes to slap people. So.
And you like to get slapped, so yeah, you guys could just sit together.
Maybe we should be on opposite sides of the desk.
Maybe.
Instead of next to each other.
I'll break it up. Anyway, Andrea, it has been an absolute pleasure having you here, and I just want to tell you that you're gorgeous and that I love your story, and you know, well done for getting through the challenges that you were faced, and it's so nice to see such a positive person come out of it all.
Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed being here, and it's so nice to actually be able to tell your story, and hopefully some people might understand some things about intersex, and it's not a choice. It happens, and
so why you were born?
Yes, unfortunately, it was.
It's Lady Gaga's "Born This Way," which I'm not playing tonight because I hate that song.
Really? I love that song.
It's overplayed. We better go now. but we will be speaking with you all next week. So do tune in again next week. And thank you, ML. Thank you, Megan, for coming in. And thank you, Chris, on the panel. And Jerry at the front desk. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.